except ye repent. Congregation, when was it the last time that you repent? Repent of your sin. When there was a first time and again in your life, and turning to Christ away from your sin. When was it the last time? Or is it with Christ's word this morning, seeking fruit in your and my life, and finds none? Except you repent. There are the words that we want to meditate with the help of the Lord this morning. Chapter 13 of the Gospel according to Luke, particularly the verses 6 to 9. Words that Christ speaks in the broader context of the Gospel that begin in chapter 9, and it came to pass when the time was come that Christ should be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Words in context that end in chapter 19, when he was come near Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it. If you had known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Congregation, Christ is on his way to the cross. Christ on his way to do the will of his Father, willingly, voluntarily, savingly, seeking to save sinners. And so this morning, Christ comes by in the peril of his words. And we hear the same parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came, as he comes this morning, and sought fruit. And so he seeks fruit and finds none. And so this morning, whatever condition or situation that you're in, maybe you had a very busy week, maybe family stress, or maybe the business, you're caught up in the business. Or maybe you have come to church with questions and riddles in your life. Or maybe the news that you follow in this world, like in the days of Jesus, people that followed the news. First one, the Galileans who killed and whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices, suffering. Or the 18 at one time, as the tower fell, they know this news. And so in our time, when high-rise buildings fall because of wars leading to the death of many. But in the midst of all that news, Christ is not distracted, but reminds his hearers and he reminds us, except you repent. Reminding us, you are not better than those that are killed in war even now. Those that suffer such things, death. We heard it this morning. A sister passed away. Eternity is knocking on our door, friends. We are not better. Of the Lord's mercies that we're here this morning, still life. And in the midst of all that you have brought into church, maybe the business of life, maybe the stress in your life, anxieties, worries, cares, concerns, Christ is not inattentive, inattentive. But he reminds, he seeks fruit in your and my life, seeks fruit of repentance. And what more? Well, the news was and is, people are dying. We are given a time of repentance. Eh? Let it alone us this year also. Or whatever time the Lord gives us. We don't know the next one in our midst that will pass away. And the time that the Lord gives is a time of grace. That Christ comes to you, to your tree. And he looks to your life this morning. Moms, dads, young adults, teenagers, children. And he looks and he seeks fruit. Must he then say, congregation of Hamilton, and found none? Must he say, cut it down, why cumber it the ground? Except ye repent. That is what the Lord is asking of us this morning. Repentance. A call of repentance. That is in essence the main thrust of the verses 1 to 5 in Luke 13. Which is emphasized then by the Lord in a parable in the verses 6 to 9. A parable of the barren fig tree. And young people, a parable, congregation, is a story that the hearers recognize. But it is a story with a single spiritual meaning. And these listeners of Christ, they knew the story. And you probably know it as well, eh? The vineyard and the fig tree, as we just have read out of Isaiah 5. That it was God's own covenant people, planted as fenced and protected vineyard, a vineyard that received the greatest care. And despite all that care, so we read in Isaiah 5, the Lord looked and that it brought forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And that the Lord has to say, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Congregation of Hamilton, can the Lord not say of you, what could have been done more? And despite all the care and provision the Lord has given in the history of this congregation, and viewed as a very fruitful hill, the fertile ground of his word, despite the preaching that we hear from this pulpit, the gospel is proclaimed, warnings, but also gospel promises. If my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal them. One more, friends, in this well-cared vineyard, Christ says in the parable, a fig tree planted in the vineyard. Such is the care of the Lord in your and my life. And fig trees, and commonly when you see them in Israel, and for those that have been in Israel, they remember that maybe, then and now, they usually you find them on the roadside or in the wild. But here, it is planted in a well-maintained vineyard, a privileged position, a favored location. There was no reason in that fig tree. It could be in any place. But here it is. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Have you ever wondered why you are here in church this morning? Because you are used to? Because that is what people expect of you? Young people, maybe you are sitting here, maybe with resistance, because of your parents, but maybe deep down there is no interest, and yet you are here. Why here this morning? Because you feel that you are better than the people in your neighborhood? People that don't go to church? Or do you see that it is undeserved care of the Lord in your life? Being set apart in this world, baptized. And many of you in this congregation, by grace, have received a place at the table of the covenant. Congregation, is it not one-sided grace and mercy of the Lord in your life? We are not better. As Israel of old was reminded, so we are reminded also this morning, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. No, you were the fewest of people. You were the least. And yet he comes. Coming also this morning, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he calls us, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And he finds none. Friends, by nature there is no fruit found in your and my life. By nature, as we have read from Isaiah 5, we bring forth wild grapes, no repentance, unfruitful. But also you, when you cannot deny the Lord's work in your life, is it really, as Martin Luther wrote, the first of his 95 theses, he writes, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, the Lord willed that the entire life of the believers to be one of repentance. If you cannot deny the Lord's grace in your life, he willed the entire life, your entire life to be one of repentance. Every day, daily, a life of repentance. And you struggle maybe to see fruit in your life. Or maybe times you wonder, is there any fruit? Congregation of Hamilton, Christ is visiting us this morning. It is soul visitation, and seeks fruit. Fruit of repentance. Friends, how are we doing? What does the Lord now find in your and my life? On your tree? And don't immediately think, but I cannot deny the Lord's work. I've received a place at the Lord's table. Or with Israel of old, begin not to say with yourself, we have Abraham to our father. We are covenant people. Complacent, resting on outward covenant privileges, the preaching of the word, sacraments. Maybe relying on the past, only this or that preaching, that is what we are used to. Or relying on past experience, sweet as they may be. But does the Lord find fruits of repentance this morning? He speaks to us as he spoke in verse 6. He spake also this parable. And he comes to us. And he seeks fruit of repentance. Except you repent. Young people, what is repentance? Repentance may be a familiar word to you. Maybe you learned it already in Sunday school, or you hear it in catechism, or you hear it at home. But is repentance now for you, young people, both a turning away from sin and a turning to the Lord, to Christ? Repentance is an inward matter. But afterward, it yields fruit in a change of life. Do you know in your life, like Luke 15, later on, another parable, but the same spiritual meaning, repentance, that there is one who came to himself and said, I will rise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his Father, turned away from sin, and turns and returns to his Father. Why? Because there was any merit in that son? No, congregation. He was on the ruins of his life. Is it not because of his Father? A waiting Father. A compassionate Father. But while he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Oh, friends, that is the gospel of this morning. Christ's own invitation, him or her that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And therefore, with your sin and with your shortcomings, maybe persistent sin, maybe you sit here and you struggle with sin, sin that comes back in your life time and time again. And you struggle to get rid of it. This struggle, maybe there are among us that knows this, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Should you not come before the Lord and say, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, friends, to come to the place and experience the words what we have sung of Psalm 32, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. But then also to experience that is this wonder of undeserved grace. When you come before him and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Friends, that goes together in the life of grace. I confess and thou forgive. Brought to confess, brought to repentance, and granted forgiveness. Does the Lord not promise in his word to the apostle John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, to know as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, then it is with the psalmist in 86, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto them. No one excluded also this morning, unto them that call upon thee. Oh, friends, that are those times when you see the Lord's undeserved forgiveness and mercy. When his word is applied in your soul and sings in your soul, that is not only for others, but also for me. But the Lord says through Jeremiah, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. That are those times that it is experienced the power of his word coming over the mountains, coming over the hills of unrepentance, of sin, of shortcomings, and to hear the voice of my beloved. Then the Lord says this morning, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, They shall be white as snow, and it is snowing. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be at wool. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, whiter than snow. Young people, do you know what repentance is? Learn your catechism. Memorize it. Lord's Day 33, it is the mortification, the dying of the old, and the quickening, the making alive of the new man. Do you know, young people, that is a sincere sorrow of the heart that we have provoked God by your sins. And more to hate and flee from them. But there's also the sincere joy in God through Christ that you, with love and delight, to live according. That is the desire, to live according to the will of God in all good works, to confess your sin. Young people, conversion is a sorrow after God, a godly sorrow, and a joy in God through Christ. You know what it is? There are times then that you're having a time that there is a taste of the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ. And that can be so mixed at times. So mixed. For a godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow after the world works death. A sorrow of the world, then you are afraid of God's judgment and punishment. Worldly grief is essentially self-pity. For you have been exposed, or having lost your stature, or your favor, or respect in the eyes of men. But a godly sorrow, that sorrow is because you have grieved the Lord with your sins. A godly grief occurs when you consider that the sin in question has dishonored and grieved a good doing God. Thomas Watson wrote even a book, The Doctrine of Repentance. And he writes, repentance is a grace of God's Spirit, whereby a sinner is inwardly humbled and visibly reformed. Is repentance seen in your life? By their fruit you shall know them. Fruits of repentance. It is a repentance worked for Christ's sake. What do I mean with that? Remember, Christ is on his way to the cross. Jesus. His name is to save people from their sin, to save unfruitful people, to rescue those who are without repentance. Also this morning, here is Christ. And note, in the opening of the text chapter, Luke 13, you read about blood and sacrifices, sinners, Jesus at three. Here is Christ on his way to the cross, who is the sacrifice, who all the Old Testament sacrifices point to, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here is Christ whose blood cleanses from all sin. Christ who suffered for the sins of his people, for their unrepentance, for their unfruitfulness, for their barrenness. Christ who was nailed on another tree when he suffered his blessed body to be nailed to the cross, as we read in the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that he might fix that on the handwriting of your sins. And that he has called upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings. Do you see the wonder of grace? Curse deserved, blessings given for Christ's sake. He humbled himself unto the deepest reproaches and pains of hell. When he was on the tree of the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the form of the Lord's Supper said, so that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. Never be forsaken of him. The Apostle Peter writes, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. That is bearing fruit. Here is Christ on his way, facing death, a death that you and I deserved. And he gives a time of repentance. 3 years I have come seeking fruit. None found. And yet, one more year is given. Congregation, do you see once more the long suffering and patience of the Lord, even this morning? He came to his own, and his own received him not, and yet it did not hinder him to go the way of suffering for salvation for unrepentant ones, to go the way to the cross to redeem unfruitful ones. And on his way, also this morning, making his way through his word, through our midst, calls us to repentance, except you repent, and offers time of repentance, let alone this year also. And he provides care, every care in your, in my life, dig and dun it, leave it another year, give special attention, plenty of fertilizer. Friends, do you begin to see it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed? Do you begin to see again that he has not dealt with us according to our sins and repaid us according to our iniquities? But that he is full of compassion. Oh, see his willingness, see his readiness, being full of compassion. Forgive their iniquities and destroy them not. That he offers peace and pardon. For thus says the High and the Lofty One that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in an high and holy place. But also with him and her also now amidst this morning, that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, remember struggling soul in our midst. The Lord is nigh to them that are of broken heart and save such as of a contrite spirit. Congregation, what does this call of repentance, Christ call, an urgent call for the fruit of repentance. What does this call now work out in your life? And the Lord is clear here in his word. If it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Congregation, that is a living reality. Eh? If the tree fall toward the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Congregation, it is one of the two. There is not a third way. This is the word of the Lord, the word of Christ this morning, seeking fruit, giving time of repentance, offers pardon and peace, offers forgiveness and mercy, and no fruit of repentance. It's gripping. So gripping. In light who Christ is, he came to save sinners. Are you not a sinner? In light of his saving work, and no repentance. In light of the Lord's great patience, having come in 3 years, how many years has he come to you? He gives one more year in the parable. How many more years he has given you? And no repentance? If that is you, the Lord warns you. What we read in Hebrews 10, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant, and despised the Spirit of grace. Friend, if that is you, turn to him now. Hear his invitation once more abundantly, so gracious, so generously. He invites even now. Is it not Proverbs that said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but who confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. Does not the Lord invite through Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he abundantly pardons. Oh, hear the word through Joel. Return to me, says the Lord, with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Oh, here is promise in Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. O come to him. This willing, this able Savior, Christ, come in repentance. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance? Pause for a moment and see the goodness of the Lord in your life. Outwardly, his provisions, and that daily. Inwardly, for you saw his word also this morning, that he speaks to you, that he takes the time to seek fruits, that you are not left to yourself. Do you see his goodness? Will that not lead you to repentance? But also for you, when this gracious fruit of repentance is found in your life, little as it might be in your own eyes, but for Christ's sake too, the more you see Christ for what he has done for such one as you are, to see more the gospel for poor, unfruitful, unrepentant sinners. And yes, in the life of grace, there's always bitterness in any repentance. But in the gospel, ultimately, there is sweetness. Sweetness in Christ, your refuge, your strength. And friend, if that is you, when by grace you have received a place at the table of the covenant, then to learn over and over again what Christ says, from me is thy fruit found. To live more out of Christ. And remember, the Lord said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And to be reminded also this morning, time and again, the words of Christ, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And that can be painful at times. So painful. But why? The Lord's gracious dealing in your life, and he prunes. And Christ said that it may bear more fruit. Because herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so in this way shall ye be my disciples. As Horatius Bonar once wrote, thy mercy found us in our sins and gave us to repenting belief. Then in believing, peace we found, and in thy Christ we live. And so we read in verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And so this morning, the Lord was in our midst. And he calls us, bring then forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. Amen.